Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 18, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18. We are in the middle of a series, actually we're more to the end, next week we'll conclude it, on questions that Jesus asked. We've only looked at about 11 or 12, the scripture has 100 of them recorded, so might be a study for you, just look for those question marks. Questions that Jesus asked, and we are in Matthew 18, and it might be a familiar portion of Scripture for you. We're going to start in verse 21, Matthew 18, verse 21, and we're going to read the verse 35. All right, Matthew 18:21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him, till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which will take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence and laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord and all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its steadfastness. We thank you for its faithfulness. We thank you for the firm foundation it gives us in our Christian walk. And we pray, Father, that as we look at the scriptures today, may we not think of theoretical. Let us not think in theory, but let us think in practical terms and how the scripture can impact our life today, how it can help us in our Christian walk today. And we ask your blessing upon this time, in Jesus' name, amen. The question that we are answering is, should you not have had compassion? Should you have not had compassion? There's a story told that a guest speaker went to a church to speak. And during the song service, he noticed something. He noticed that the organist and the pianist did not play together. When the organist sped up, the pianist slowed down. And when the pianist sped up, the organist slowed down. And this went on for the entire service. Well, after the service, the evangelist went over to the pastor and said, what is up with the worship service? And the pastor said, oh, you noticed that. He said, this is what happened. One day the organist wore a new outfit and the pianist did not compliment her. And they have been angry with each other ever since. And we as the congregation have had to put up with it. Well, you know, that might sound a little ridiculous. But how often do we carry grudges? We carry hurts. And it's others, third party, that pay the price. It's others that get hurt. These things happen because we do not practice a life of forgiveness. Forgiveness is compassion. And Jesus asked in verse 33, should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the compassion that Jesus speaks of is forgiveness. So are you living a life of forgiveness? Are you living a life of forgiveness? So let's talk about a few things here. What is forgiveness? And we look over to Luke chapter 17, sort of a parallel passage here. Verses 3 to 10, we're going to see a few things here that tell us about forgiveness. Luke 17, 3 to 10. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespasses against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, and saying to him, by and by, when he has come down from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup and gird myself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when you shall have done those things which are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. Here's what we learn about forgiveness from this passage. We're going to first kind of define forgiveness by what it is not. First of all, it is not a feeling. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is to be granted when the sinner repents. Verse 3, Jesus says, if he repents, forgive him. Forgiveness is to be granted repeatedly on the same day. So if a sinner repeatedly professes repentance, verse 4 tells us that, if he trespasses against thee seven times in a day, and to thee saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. That is something no one would feel like doing. Would you feel like doing that seven times later? The guy comes back and he says, will you forgive me? This is like the seventh time. So forgiveness is not a feeling. Christ declared that to his disciples that the disciples had the faith necessary to forgive. They didn't think so. They said, increase our faith. He says, you have enough faith for this. They did not need to wait until they felt stronger spiritually. They didn't have to wait till they grew in maturity. You can do this now, Jesus says. And forgiveness is a matter of obedience, not feelings. So first of all, the first thing you got to get it in your mind is, forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is not a feeling. How often do we say, I just don't feel like forgiving? I don't feel. It's not a feeling. Second, it is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not forgetting. There's no command in the Bible that tells us to forget before we forgive. I can't forgive until I forget. Are you waiting to some old age senility to kick in before you forgive people? You are not, forgiving is not forgetting. Neither is there scriptural support for the statement, if you haven't forgotten, you haven't forgiven. If you haven't forgotten, you haven't forgiven. That's not biblically supported. Forgetting is a frequent byproduct of granting forgiveness biblically, but not always. Forgiving is active. It's a choice. Forgetting is passive. There is no choice. You forget your keys. You didn't actively forget your keys. You forget where your glasses are. You didn't actively choose to do that. Forgiving is active. Forgetting is passive. And you never forget something by trying to forget it. Well, let me think about forgetting about this. I'm going to think about forgetting about this. You won't forget it. You'll be remembering it. You'll be moving from your short-term memory to your long-term memory. Now, There is a reference that God forgets our sins, but God does not forget our sins. It doesn't say he forgets. Maybe some modern translations might put it that way, but it says he remembers no more. He remembers no more. Let me ask you this question, because this will blow your mind. If you think God forgets things, this will blow your mind. How can an omniscient God forget anything? How can a God who knows all forget anything? If you've got a God who forgets things, that's not a good God. It's not that he forgets, it's that he remembers no more. He chooses not to remember. It's not that he forgets. He knows it's there. He's an omniscient God. But he chooses not to hold our sins against us. He chooses not to hold our sins against us. So forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is not forgetting. And forgiveness is not excusing sin. Forgiveness is not excusing sin. Excusing is a form of minimizing sin. Excusing is a form of minimizing sin. It's not taking sin seriously. It minimizes sin. By minimizing sin, it destroys hope because it does not lead to a clear conscience. By excusing sin, it's a dishonest way of addressing sin, and it's calling it something than other what God calls it. When we excuse it, it's not a big deal. No problem. Forget it. Let's deal with sin. Let's not excuse it. Let's not minimize it. So forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not excusing sin. But what is it? What is forgiveness? Well, here's a definition. Forgiveness is a lifting of the charge of guilt from another. Forgiveness is a lifting of the charge of guilt from another. It is a formal declaration of the fact and a promise never to remember the wrong against someone in the future. Forgiveness is a lifting of the charge of guilt from another, a formal declaration of the fact, and a promise never to remember the wrong against him in the future. Because forgiveness is a decision. Forgiveness is a decision. It's a promise. It's a promise. These are the four promises you're making when you forgive somebody. The first is this: not to dwell on the incident mentally. I'm not going to think about it. If you say you forgave somebody and you're constantly thinking about it, you did not forgive them. If the mind goes to it, turn the mind to something else. I will not think about it. Okay, you're chuckling because that's hard enough, right? Here's the second one. It's not to bring the incident again and again and use it against the other person. It's not to bring it up. There's husbands and wives in here. You can have a discussion about something. You'll bring something up from 40 years ago. But did you really forgive them? There is a term for that. It's called gunny sacking. It's emptying your gunny sack. But that's not forgiving. It's not bringing the incident again and use it against the other person. So first of all, you're making a decision that you're not going to think about it. Second, you're making a decision you're not going to bring it up against the other person. Here's the third one. You're not going to talk to others about the incident and use it against the person. You're not going to tell everybody else about it. Now, Pastor, we don't do that. We say, pray for this person because... Well, then you're disparaging the person. You didn't forgive them. So you're not going to think about it. You're not going to use it against the other person and bring it up and use it against the other person. And you're not going to talk to others about it. And the fourth thing you're not going to do, what you're not going to do, is this. Not allow the incident to stand between you and the other person or hinder your personal relationship with them. You're not going to allow it to hinder your relationship with them. You see how this isn't a feeling? It's an act of the will. It's not an act of the emotions. You're like, that's just impossible. It's what we're commanded to do. We're going to talk a little bit more about this, but I don't want to get ahead of myself because I think I'm going to get ahead of myself here if I say this. But I'm going to get ahead of myself. What we usually think of forgiveness is not forgiveness. What we usually think of asking for forgiveness is not forgiveness. We like to say, apologize. I apologize. Apology. There is a Greek word for apology. It's apologia. Where you get the word apologetics, it means to make a defense of. So you're not really asking for forgiveness. You're making a defense of your actions. I did something last week. I, in the course of doing something, I think I wronged somebody. So I went home and texted them and said, I did this. I may have said, I'm sorry. But the last part of the phrase I wrote, will you forgive me? Because I wronged them. Will you forgive me? See, when you get up and you say, I'm sorry, that's it. When you say, will you forgive me, you have just moved the ball to their court. Now it's up to them. Are they going to forgive or are they not going to forgive? You have just moved the ball to their court. Now you say, that's impossible. No, it's not. Marjorie taught her second graders this a long time ago. And they would interrupt class and say, Mrs. Harrelson, can we go out in the hall? We got to figure this out. And they would say, you know, I wronged you. Will you forgive me? I wronged you. Will you forgive me? And you have to forgive. Because we're commanded to forgive. We've got to move it out of this, I apologize. All right, you apologize. Are you sorry for what you did? When I taught sixth grade, I had 24 kids in my sixth grade class, 18 boys, 6 girls. I was the high school Bible teacher. I was not planning to teach middle school, but the middle school teacher quit, so they asked me to teach sixth grade. And I would be writing on the board, and they would be misbehaving. And I would turn around, and I would catch them. They were never quick about it. And they would say, I'm sorry. And I would refrain this way. I would say, are you sorry you did it, or are you sorry you got caught? And I must have said that enough times, because later in the year, I would turn around, and the person would I say, I'm sorry, and the whole class would say, are you sorry you did it, or are you sorry you got caught? See, when you just say, I'm sorry, are you really sorry you did it? Or are you just sorry you got caught? But when you're asking for forgiveness, you have moved it into a different category. It's not a defense of your actions. You are owning up to your actions. And now you're asking the person to forgive you. See, now, the person who's supposed to forgive you, if they say, oh, it's okay, is that minimizing sin? That might be minimizing sin. Maybe they were hurt by it. But you've owned up, and now they have to forgive you, as Scripture says. So let's talk about, why should we forgive? I'm happy in my unforgiveness. I'm happy being mean at the other person. Why are you sucking the joy out of life? I'm supposed to hate these people and spread gossip and talk about them. Now what am I going to do? Well, you are to forgive because God commands it. That should settle it. Jesus is teaching this forgiveness here. See, Peter comes as, if I forgive him 70 times 7, he thought, that's a great number, 490 times, that's a magnanimous thing. And Jesus says, no, it's supposed to be greater than that. Greater, keep forgiving people. There is no limit on forgiving people. Because it is necessary for us to live in harmony with one another. If we don't forgive people, we're all going to be living isolated lives. We're going to be angry with people all the time, upset by people. You know, people do things that upset you. Well, we need to forgive, not only because God commands it, because sin requires it. Sin requires forgiveness if reconciliation is to occur. Simple apologies and making statements like "that's okay" does not settle sin issues. But ultimately, we should forgive because God has forgiven us. And that's the point of this parable. God forgives us, so we forgive others. It's easier for us to forgive. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's easier for us to forgive when we are gripped in the knowledge and the fact that we are forgiven people. Forgiven people forgive. People who are aware of the sin that God has forgiven them of, who are aware of the forgiveness that they experience from God, are forgiving people. I will never, here's the thing, you say, "I can't forgive that person. They may have done the most heinous thing ever alive. I can't forgive them." But you will never have to forgive someone as much as God has forgiven you. You will never have to forgive somebody as much as God has forgiven you. And we need to be gripped by that forgiveness. And when we're gripped by that forgiveness, we'll forgive other people. That's the why. Are we being gripped by the forgiveness of God? So when should we forgive? When there is repentance. When there is repentance. And this is illustrated when the person comes to you and asks for forgiveness. When they have humbled themselves and come to you and asked for forgiveness, they have demonstrated repentance. They have acknowledged that they have wronged you. They have acknowledged that they have done wrong. So the question you might be asking, can you forgive when there is no repentance? Can you forgive if they don't ask for it? Technically, no. Well, back that up, Pastor. Look at God. He doesn't forgive until we repent. He doesn't forgive until we ask. So you mean I can walk in anger and be angry with people that never asked to forgive? I didn't say that. I say you can't grant forgiveness until they ask for it. However, on your side, you should be in a frame of forgiveness and ready to forgive for when they do ask for it. You should have the mentality, because if you don't, it's going to fester in you. And when you don't forgive, who loses out? The person you're holding the grudge or you? You. They don't care. They're not bothered by it. So you've got to let it go. You've got to ask God grace to get over it. However, there's other scriptures. We're not looking at the whole of scripture, but there are other scriptures involved. Because if you're offended by somebody, they are supposed to come to you. And they're supposed to ask for forgiveness. But if they don't, you're supposed to go to them and say, "Hey, you offended me." And if they say, "Oh," they should say, "Oh, I'm sorry. I offended you. Will you please forgive me?" And then they've asked for it. You give it. If they don't, then you're supposed to take it with someone with you as a witness. And then if they don't again, then you're supposed to take the church to them and kick them out of the church, possibly, if they don't repent of their sin. There are other scriptures that are involved here. So you aren't supposed to live in a state like, "I'm ready to forgive, if they would just come and ask." There are other things that are involved. But you should have a spirit of forgiveness. You should have the attitude of forgiveness. But you really can't forgive until they ask for it. When do we forgive? When we know God requires it, not when we feel like it. And every time there is repentance, over and over again. Could you imagine if you had a list, and here he comes. Okay, we're on 489. He's got one more time. Could you imagine if God had that list? How already over it are you? We forgiven people forgive. We may not feel like forgiving. I've been in arguments with my wife, and I've asked her for forgiveness. She's like, rats, he's asked for forgiveness. And she's like, I don't feel like it, but I'm giving it to you. But don't talk to me for the rest of the day. No. She hasn't said that. It just seems like that way. But I'm the one who messed up. I'm the one who needed forgiveness. We forgive because God forgives us over and over again. And we come to him and we think he's keeping a ledger. And we might pray this way and we might think this way and we say, it's me again, I've done it again. But if he forgave us the first time, he says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If he's forgiven us, scripture says he remembers it no more. So in one sense, he's like, what are you talking about? It's like the first time you come. See, the person who reminds us of our past is not usually God. It's us. It's Satan. So if Satan comes to you and reminds you of your past, just remind him of his future. So we need to come and offer it. Let me put it this way. Let me share it this way, too. There are other things that are involved, not just forgiven. Because with forgiveness, there is a restoration, but not necessarily a complete restoration. There are consequences to sin. My pastor used to put it this way. If you got into a drunken beer brawl and you got in a fight, the fight, and you lose your eye, once you get saved, you don't get your eyesight back. And so there might be some consequences to your sin. Even though you're forgiven, you may not be restored completely. There still may be consequences to your sin. But forgiveness is there. So why is forgiveness needed? Because man's greatest need is forgiveness. Without forgiveness, he is doomed for eternal punishment. Forgiveness is necessary for salvation. We are commanded to forgive others in the same way that God has forgiven us. In fact, Colossians 3:13 says, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Ephesians 4:32, and be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We are to forgive. Forgiveness is needed because unreconciled relationships between Christians hinder evangelism and rob churches of a positive community witness, like the organist and the pianist who couldn't get along in the opening illustration. It robs a witness. There's another story told. There was a pianist playing in a church in North Carolina. And another pianist walked in, and she said, no, it's not her time to be up there. It's my turn to be up there. And so she walked up there to take over. Well, the one playing was not budging. So the other one sat down on the piano bench and started playing and tried to push her off. And there the two pianists pushing each other off and not working. So then the families get involved. So over the police scanner, 911 called, fight breaks out at the Baptist church. Now, what kind of testimony is that? They're not expecting police at the Baptist church at 11 a.m. for an all-out brawl. So when we don't forgive, it robs churches of a positive community witness. So what are the results of forgiving? When you forgive, you choose to give away the mercy that God has freely given you. God has given you grace and mercy, and you extend it right back to somebody else. When you forgive, you refuse to live by your feelings. Maybe this is one of the areas where we live by our feelings the most. But we refuse to live by our feelings. When you forgive, you refuse to live on a mission to get even. Forgiveness always entails a cost. There's a price to pay. But regardless of the cost you pay for someone else's sin, it will still cost you far less than what it cost Christ to forgive you. One author put it this way: all of us get hurt from time to time, and most of us are hurt very badly at some point in our lives. But Christians have the incredible resource and the responsibility to forgive. Not out of our own strength, but out of the strength of God provides through our experience of His forgiveness. Does this sound difficult? It's not difficult. It's impossible unless you and I have feasted on the cross of Christ. Unless we feast upon the cross of Christ. And when you forgive, you refuse to live your life stuck in the past. When you don't forgive, you're stuck in the past. To get over the past, you have to be consumed with something greater than the way the other person wronged you. It's when you get consumed with knowing Christ. It's when you get consumed of loving Christ. When you're enjoying Christ, that you feel the grip of your painful past begin to loosen and the memory of the painful past begin to fade. Philippians 3:10-14 state this, Paul talking about the idea here, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The result of getting gripped by God is letting go of the past and pressing on and maturing. When you forgive, you choose to put at the forefront what God has done for you. See, forgiveness is not a suggestion. Forgiveness is not an encouragement. Forgiveness is a command. So forgiveness is not about forgetting what the other person did to you. It's choosing to remember and to delight in what Christ has already done for you on the cross, so that you can extend that same mercy to them. Will you live a life of forgiveness? Will you extend forgiveness? Who is it that you need to forgive?